This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks so much for joining us. It's a special Civil War-themed edition of the show today as the country marks the 150th anniversary of the start of the war between the states. While the entire Civil War was fought in the Eastern Time Zone, Wisconsin's place in Civil War history is ripe for study, given how many of its citizens fought and died in the war. And that's where the Kenosha Civil War Museum comes in. The museum was completed in 2008 and tells the story of how the war affected the Midwest. Doug Dahman is the museum's director. Not long ago, Lake Effect's Mitch Tyke spoke with Dahman in his office in Kenosha, and Dahman explained why the Civil War warrants an entire museum in Kenosha as opposed to an exhibit in a broader history museum.
Well, the Civil War Museum really sprung out of an idea to honor not just Wisconsin soldiers, but soldiers from the upper Midwest. Our museum looks at Indiana, Michigan, Wisconsin, Illinois, Iowa, and Minnesota. And when we looked at it, a lot of the Civil War stories that were being told at battlefield sites or in books or modern writing centered more on the troops from the East, Ohio and East. And really the story of these Midwesterners or Westerners, as they were known as at the time, kind of was lost. There were a few people. Lance Hertigan from the area was writing on the Iron Brigade, and so he was out there really trumpeting the cause for the Midwestern troops. But they're really the story of these soldiers and really these communities was being lost. And so we felt it was an important story, something that needed to be told and wasn't. So that was really the idea behind the museum itself.
Well, and so then let me ask you this. What motivated someone to fight on behalf of the Union Army if you were coming from southern Illinois, which even today probably still has as much in common with its southern neighbors as it does probably more than with someplace like Minnesota or Wisconsin?
I think early on, in 1861, it was the Union, that idea of the federal government to fight to save the Union. When Lincoln issues the Emancipation Proclamation, that is a controversial document even in the upper Midwest. Some of the men said, that's not the reason I signed up to fight this war, even the men from this area. Think about the large immigrant populations who were living maybe in Milwaukee, the large German and Irish populations, probably had no interest in seeing the abolition of slavery. They might have viewed those African Americans as competition for wages, competition for living space, competition for jobs. So they're... why they're fighting might be vastly different than someone, say, from Boston or Massachusetts or even within their own state. I think if you would have looked at the different regiments, you probably would have gotten many different opinions within those regiments from each state as to why the men were there. But I believe early on it was probably, how dare those Southerners fire on our flag and try to destroy this union that was created by our revolutionary forefathers, not really that long ago. If you think about 1860, that maybe one or two generations before, so that people weren't that far removed from that era.
Do you feel like you have more in common with a living history museum like an Old World Wisconsin or something along those lines than you do with, say, a battlefield museum adjacent to Gettysburg or Antietam or what have you?
Possibly. Because we are inside. We're not an outside venue, but we always strive to bring living history groups here and make them part of the interpretation. They do a wonderful job for us. People really get excited to see them, to bring the exhibits really to life. The living history groups certainly help. I think we have an immersive gallery downstairs. What we try to do is not just display the artifacts in glass cases without really any context. You'll see the cases are placed within period-looking buildings or a period landscape. And so that folks, when they look at them, are looking at the objects in the context that they would have been used in the time period. So we've made every effort. Certainly it's a concrete floor, mm-hmm. and the buildings are like studio props. They're just the fronts, the facades. They're not actual buildings. But that immersive style, I think, lends itself well to get people into the period and thinking along those lines.
What is it about the Civil War that gets you fired up? Why is this the job that you have, and what makes you want to keep coming to it every day?
Well, longer than I've been on this earth, my father has collected Civil War medical items, and he has amassed a large collection of Union medical items. And he's been involved in a museum in Frederick, Maryland, where he's donated a large portion of his collection, and it's on display in Frederick. And so our summer vacations as kids were based a lot around trips to Gettysburg. He would take the collection and exhibit it at collector shows. And then we would do things centered around there, weren't just all history and battlefield things, but a lot of our time was spent going out there. And one of the things I'll always remember is my father and I used to get up very early in the mornings when we were in Gettysburg and go walk a certain portion of the battlefield. And that, to me, really is a lasting memory and one of the reasons why I was always interested in history. In undergrad, I had the opportunity to work at Harper's Ferry National Historic Park in West Virginia. And I really enjoyed working for the curator there and the cultural resource manager. What impressed me is they were always excited about coming in to do their work every day. And that's something that I wanted to have too. And so I was a history major and knew that the museum outlet was and public history was going to be for me. What's interesting about public history and what's often challenging is that you never know who's going to walk through the front door of your museum on a day-to-day basis. We get people here in Kenosha who may have walked by and seen the building and may or may not know that the Civil War was fought from 1861 to 1865, or that Wisconsin was even a state when the war started. Then you get people in who have spent a large portion of their free time or their professional lives studying a certain aspect of the Civil War and are very interested in that particular regiment or battle. And the challenge of any museum or any public history is to present your artifacts and your interpretation in a way that those people who don't know the war was fought from 1861 to 65 and those people who have studied that particular battle or regiment their entire lives pick something up and you inspire them maybe to purchase a book in the museum shop or go to the library and check something out and learn more about the Civil War. And that's always fun for me. It's different than I think in a college setting or even a high school setting where people have paid to take that lecture and are being graded. People have chosen to come to the Civil War Museum because it may be part of their vacation, it's their leisure time, and we have a window of opportunity to talk to them and try to teach them. But they can spend as much or as little time in the gallery as they'd like. So that's always challenging. And to present something that appeals to all groups is a challenge, but it's a lot of fun.
Do you see yourself, obviously we don't have any battlefields very close by, do you see yourself as the tip of the iceberg that maybe you have a chance to get someone in Wisconsin to be as interested as you were when you were young and create the incentive for the family next year to go to Gettysburg?
Yeah, I think so. You know, for a lot of the Civil War battlefields, it is over a day's drive to get out there to see these things. And so maybe we're kind of the gateway that introduces people to them. They get to interact closely with some of the artifacts, get a chance to see what life was like for these folks, and it piques the interest. We do a lot of school groups from southeastern Wisconsin, northeastern Illinois, northern Illinois, all over. I hope that those kids that come in, we see it a lot, that you'll see the school group. The teachers bring the school groups here, and then the kids bring their parents here on the weekends. I think the kids go home and tell their parents, we went to the Civil War Museum in Kenosha today. Oh, really? Well, what's there? Well, let's take a trip down and check it out. And maybe the family becomes interested, and they make that decision to say, you know, we're headed east this year. Let's stop off at Antietam or at Gettysburg for the day. But certainly we're an option with rising fuel costs and things if you're looking for a day excursion or an overnight excursion that's a little closer to get your Civil War fix in for the 150th anniversary of the start of the war. We're certainly here to accommodate.
Given the 150th anniversary, are there special events? Are there special exhibits that you're having on display to take advantage of this interest this year?
Yeah, coming up in the larger scheme of things throughout these next 4 years, it's a challenge not to burn everybody out in 2011. The war lasted for 4 years, and so we're looking to keep things moving into 2015. But every year we do a variety of programs and speakers. It will be a lot of things based around the anniversary of those individual battles and things. So I invite people to go to the website, which is www.thecivilwarmuseum.org. And if you click on our events tab, you'll see the number of classes and lectures and programs and events that we are offering.
Well, thank you for sharing the story of the Civil War Museum with us.
Sure.
Doug Dahman is the director of the Kenosha Civil War Museum, part of the Kenosha Public Museums complex. He spoke with Mitch Tyke. There's a link to more information about the museum, including how it's marking the war's 150th anniversary, from wuwm.com/lakeeffect. Keep listening. We'll hear about the challenges Civil War veterans faced as they try to return to civilian life in Wisconsin and elsewhere. That's coming up next on Lake Effect.